Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. I know the kids are excited. This is spring break. The teachers are also excited. Bishop, do I get spring break? I'm a teacher. Do I get the week off? Enjoy the time. The first thing I want to do is say a big thank you to all the middle schoolers and all those that went over to the nursing home last Sunday to wish our sister deliverance. Happy birthday. I know Nancy and other sisters coordinated the whole thing. The middle schoolers made cards and a bunch of people showed up, plus a lot of campus students. I want to give you guys a round of applause. Fantastic job. Also, just turn the monitors off. Also, I've been asked to remind you that all the mothers, please make sure you get your pictures taken with your kids in anticipation of our Mother's Day, which is coming up in a few weeks. Amen? So please, after service, Andreas will be out there with his camera. All the mothers, we need to start getting our pictures taken. But I also, before I get into my lesson this morning, Burrell Pope, go ahead and stand up. Where are you? Hang on, you don't know what I'm about to say. I may be getting ready to correct him publicly. And you're about to start clapping. You don't know. But for several years, Burrell Pope has been working on his PhD in school administration. And he's finally finished. He's now officially Dr. Burrell Pope. Congratulations. Exodus 20, in verse 13, it simply says, "You shall not murder. Thou shalt not kill." You know, several years ago, there used to be a huge billboard on Highway 316 on the way to Athens. They've since removed it. It was my favorite billboard in the whole of Georgia. It simply said, "Which part of thou shalt not do you not understand?" Signed, God. And if you think about it, that's what the Ten Commandments is all about. If you're visiting with us this morning, for the last several weeks, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments. And we're on commandment number 6 right now, this morning, talking about you shall not kill. The Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament, except for observing the Sabbath on Saturday. As Christians, our Sabbath is Sunday. Because in the first century church, they started meeting on the first day of the week, which was the day Jesus rose from the dead. Are you with me? And so, over the last several weeks, I've been trying to go back for us to look at how all these scriptures apply to us today. Now, you may be sitting there this morning going, "You know what? I have never killed anybody. And so I'm not a murderer." You're going to find out by the end of this sermon, you are a murderer. I am a murderer, according to the scriptures. Are you with me? And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Several years ago, somebody asked the late wife of the Reverend Billy Graham if she had ever thought of divorcing him. And she said, "Divorce? No. Murder? Yes, a few times." She was kidding, obviously. The Bible says, "You shall not murder." Last week we talked about kids honoring their parents and obeying their parents. Today we're going to talk about the 6th commandment. In the Old Testament, there were several Hebrew words used to describe different forms of killing. All right? The Hebrew word used right here is ratsach, R-A-T-S-A-C-H. Is the Hebrew word for unlawfully taking a human life. That's what it is. People use this verse to justify not killing animals. Okay? It's talking about ratsak, the taking of a human life. Are you with me? If anything, in Genesis, when God created the Garden of Eden, he put Adam and Eve in there and says, you know what? Look at all these animals. First of all, name them, and then kill them and eat them. That was what he said. Are you with me? Again, people use this verse to justify, for instance, today, not killing animals. You can't do that. Because it's ratsak. It's talking about the unlawful taking of a human life. As a matter of fact, the NIV translates it correctly. You also see the same thing in Matthew 19:18. You shall not murder. Now you ask yourself, why is it that God does not want us to take human life? You remember what Job said in Job 1:21? He says, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Right after he had lost everything and he had lost his family. It is God that gives us life. That's why you cannot take another human life. Because you can't produce one. You say, wait a second, I'm a man. I got kids. I produced them. No, you didn't. God set all that biology and all that stuff in motion for you to be able to bring those kids into this world. But you had nothing to do with it. It was God. Are you with me? Yeah. That's why we can't take life. Also, in Genesis, you can turn to this one. Genesis chapter 9. This is another reason why we cannot take life. Genesis 9, in verse 3. It says, everything that lives and moves like food will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, and from each man too, I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God, as God made man. He repeats what he said in Genesis chapter 1 when he said, let us make man in our image. See, that's why you and I cannot take human life. Because human life is created in the image of God. Are you with me? When you take a life, when somebody takes a life, guess what? They're trying to be like God. That's why God is so upset about it. Because you can't bring them back. Are you with me? If you kill somebody, if you murder somebody, you can't bring them back to life. Only God can. And so when somebody takes life, God doesn't want us to take life because, you know what? Man was created in his image, and you can't bring that life back. Are you with me? I'm going to embarrass my daughters for a second here. I remember when they were much younger. I can't even remember how old they were. I don't know, 3, 4, 3, somewhere around there. They were playing one day. They had braids, and they were playing. And they're in a different room, and all of a sudden they decided, you know, let's play barber. Let's play hairdresser. And one of them grabs a scissors and says, you know, let's play hairdresser. And Gina, actually, she starts cutting Ashley's braids. She cuts one off. She cuts the other one off. She cuts the other one off. And she cuts the other one off. And she cuts another one off. And then Ashley goes, okay, put it back. Obviously, that can't be done. At that age, they didn't know that. And, you know, Gina tried to put it back. Obviously, the stuff fell off. And all of a sudden, my wife and I were in different rooms. All we heard was this scream. Ah! And so we come and say, what's going on? Say, Gina cut my hair. I told her to put it back. Say, sorry, she can't do it. And so obviously, you know, we had to take her in, you know, she had the whole thing cut off. But, you know, it's grown back. You see, you can't kill somebody because you can't bring him back. That's why God says, you know what, don't do this. Life is very precious. You know, all ancient societies had laws against murder. It wasn't just Israel. If anything, what we find in the Old Testament is God's standard. Okay? Now look in Numbers 25. Sorry, Numbers 35. Now I'm not going to read the whole thing. Beginning verse 6, Numbers 35, it starts talking about if somebody kills somebody, you know, what needs to get done. First of all, in verse 6, it says, six of the towns you give to the Levites will be cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone may flee. In addition, give them 42 other towns. In all, you must give the Levites 48 towns together with their pasture lands. The towns you give the Levites from the land the Israelites possess are to be given in proportion to the inheritance of each tribe. Take many towns from a tribe that has many, but give few from one that has few. And it goes on. Jump down to verse 16. If a man strikes someone with an iron object so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer shall be put to death. Or if anyone had a stone in his hand that could kill, and he strikes someone so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer shall be put to death. Or if anyone has a wooden object in his hand that would kill, and he hits someone so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer shall be put to death. The avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death. When he meets him, he shall put him to death. If anyone with malice aforethought shoves another or throws something at him intentionally so that he dies, or if in hostility he hits him with his fist so that he dies, that person shall be put to death. He is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. You see, the Old Testament defines three kinds of unlawful killings. The first one is murder. When you kill somebody with malice aforethought. It's very interesting. If you look at the penal code, even in America today, and a lot of states, it's almost as if they lifted everything out of the Old Testament. Almost word for word. Now, it varies from state to state. For instance, most states have what we call 4 degrees of murder. There's intentional killing, and there's unintentional killing. Are you with me? Okay? This guy owes you money. You decide you want your money back because he's not paying. And you go to his house with a baseball bat. To scare him, all right, so he can pay you your money. That's your intent. Are you with me? You walk in. You say, hey, John, where's my money? Oh, I don't have it. You take a swing at him. Bam! You hit him. He tries to shield himself. You hit him again. And he falls over. He dies. Guess what? You are going to jail. But I didn't intend to kill him. Yeah, it's unintentional killing. You're still going to jail. Now, if you intended to kill him, that's murder one. Are you with me? Then they have something else called murder two. Then they have voluntary manslaughter, unintentional killing, and then involuntary manslaughter, unintentional killing. But that's what most laws have on the books. Are you with me? God's the same way. God says you kill somebody, you need to get killed. And we need to get comfortable with that. That's God's standard. That's not something that America came up with. That's not something that we came up with. Are you with me? And some of us in here, we are opposed to capital punishment. Capital punishment is in the Bible. Here you go again, trying to play God. God says somebody kills somebody, you need to take their life. Yeah, I may not like it, you may not like it, but when God has spoken, God has spoken. Are you with me? That's murder. The violent, deliberate, premeditated taking of another person's life is known as homicide. Believe me, before there was law enforcement, the person responsible for tracking a killer down was known as the avenger of blood. Usually it was one of the relatives of the victim. So for instance, if you killed my brother, okay, I will become the avenger of blood. I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you for taking my brother's life. It was usually a relative of the victim. That's the avenger of blood. They had no law enforcement back then. Today, if you try, believe me, Guinea police will come pick you up. Okay? The U.S. government will do the job for you. And that's why you will hear the phrase sometimes, you can't take the law into your own hands. Because back then, you did. Okay? Heaven forbid, if I kill Anthony, okay, and Patsy decides, you know what, I'm going to take the law into my own hands, he's got a gun, next time Richard is preaching, I'm going to blow his head off in front of everybody. Guess what? She comes and shoots me right here on this pulpit. Say, well, I'm the avenger of blood. I'm avenging the blood of my husband. Guess what? Patsy is going to jail because she can't do that. Now we have law enforcement. You can't take the laws into your own hands. Are you with me? Okay? And sometimes you see it depicted in movies where somebody has killed somebody and then a relative comes and shoots the victim. And that person is going to jail. I'm sorry. That's just the law. You are going to jail. You can't do that. Amen? In the Old Testament, you could, but not anymore. The second type of unlawful killing, negligent death. Look in Number two, the second type of unlawful killing, negligent death. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy. Deut. For short. Deuteronomy 22 in verse 8. Oh no. I wrote down the wrong reference. Okay, hang on. Deuteronomy 22, verse 8. When you build a new house, this is an example, make a parapet around your roofs so that you may not bring the guilt of bloodshed on your house if someone falls from the roof. You know, back then, most houses, the roofs were flat. And they would cover it with, leaves and stuff. You know, it would be very thick. You remember one story one time when Jesus was preaching and they brought in a paralytic through the roof? They literally opened up the roof and got the man inside. And but you would have to build that thing to a certain standard. Because if somebody's walking on the roof, all of a sudden they fall through. And boom, they end up at the bottom and they die. You didn't intend to kill him. But you're still going to be charged with negligent death. According to scripture. Are you with me? Although that was not your intent. Your intent was not to kill that person. You will still be responsible for that. You see, in Israel, some people died because they failed to keep their property safe. Also, I'll give you another example. In Exodus 21, verses 28 and 29. If you had an animal, maybe a cow, and your cow gouged somebody, okay? Sometimes on the news, you see these guys in Spain. They call it the running of the bulls. To me, that's insane. Those people, I think there's something wrong with them. Personally. I mean, you see a bunch of bulls. I mean, and these are some serious-looking animals with some serious horns. And they're running in front of them. And every once in a while, you see them, a bull will catch up somebody and just gorge them. Throw them up. I mean, people end up in hospital. As if, that's some kind of badge of honor. Yes, I got gorged by the bull. People have died from that stuff. Okay? But anyway, in the Old Testament, if you had a bull that gorged somebody, you were responsible for that. Because again, the idea is you keep your animals safe so that they don't harm other people. Are you with me? If you think about it, even today, when some of us, I know we have pets and you have dogs and stuff, and if you have a vicious dog, and that dog gets loose and go bite somebody, you're in trouble. You are in serious trouble. Okay? As a matter of fact, even in the law, you know, some people, they'll get like a cougar when it's very small, when they're cute, and they'll raise them as a domestic animal. By law, that is an inherently dangerous animal. If that thing gets out and hurts somebody, you are in trouble. You are going to jail. There's no ifs or buts about it. Oh, but I didn't intend. It's just my pet. Oh, sorry. First of all, you're going to put your pet to sleep, and then they're going to lock you up. That's just the way the law is. So you see, even back then, if your animal negligently killed somebody, you were responsible. You were responsible for it. Another type, the third kind of unlawful killing that we find in the Old Testament, is the killing of the unborn. Look in Exodus 21. Pro-life advocates love this one. Exodus 21 in verse 22. Watch this. It says, if men who are fighting hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows. But if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. Okay? Where a woman is pregnant and you take that life, you're going to pay with your life. I mean, think about that for a second. Back in the Old Testament, we're talking about you shall not kill, you shall not murder, you shall not take another human being's life. Could it be this is why the reason why abortion was virtually non-existent? Because if you think about it, if a woman aborted a fetus, they were going to kill you. There's no ifs or buts about it. Are you with me? But you see, even if a woman was pregnant and somebody accidentally hurt her and hurt the baby inside of her, depending on the seriousness of the injury, if that baby died, you were going to pay with your life. If it was just, you know, if it was a minor injury, you would need to pay whatever it is the court or the husband wanted you to pay. Very serious stuff. Are you with me? Now let's talk about accidental killings, because that's also in the Old Testament. This is where somebody is killed accidentally without malicious intent. Look in Numbers 35. Numbers 35. Numbers 35. You guys didn't know you were going to be having a criminal law class this morning. That's what this is. Numbers 35 in verse 10. He says, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, select some towns to be cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone accidentally may flee. They will be places of refuge from the avenger, so that a person accused of murder may not die because he stands trial before the assembly. These six towns will be your cities of refuge. Give three on this side of the Jordan and three in Canaan as cities of refuge. These six towns will be a place of refuge for Israelites, aliens, and any other people living among them, so that anyone who has killed another accidentally can flee there. Okay? Back then, here's what used to happen. We've talked about intentional killing. You kill somebody intentionally, you're going to pay with your life. There's no ifs or buts about it. But you kill somebody accidentally. All right? It happens today. You're driving home from work, and you hit a car, and the person dies in that accident. That's accidental killing. You didn't intend to kill that person, but the person is still dead nonetheless. Back in the Old Testament, when something like that happened, they had cities of refuge where you could go, you could flee, such that the avenger of blood could not touch you, because you didn't intend to kill their loved one. Now, if you read the rest of the chapter, it will tell you, if you venture out of that refuge, that city of refuge, and that avenger of blood finds you, he can kill you, and he will not be guilty of murder. So basically, it's almost as if saying, okay, if you kill somebody today, as long as you stay in Gwinnett County, you're fine. If you cross over into DeKalb, or you go to Cobb, the Lord will pick you up and take your life. That was what was happening back in the Old Testament. Are you with me? And so God created these cities and allowed people to run there if they had killed somebody accidentally. Okay? Today, what usually happens is you go to court, you'll show that, you know, I wasn't intending this. Chances are, though, depending on your driving record and depending on the how ghastly the accident was, for instance, with that, they may still lock you up for a few years and then let you out. Okay? It doesn't mean, oh yeah, sorry, accidental car killing, I'm just going to walk. It doesn't work that way. If anything, another thing that happens today is somebody gets into a car accident and they see people injured and you take off. Ooh, that's a big no-no. Okay? You will be charged for not assisting. Because you caused the accident. You need to stand there and assist. You can't drive off. If you drive off and they find you, you are going to jail for a long time. It just happened not too long ago. A lady and her mom were sentenced to death. Not sentenced to death. They were sentenced to, I think the daughter got life imprisonment. I think she's going to be in there. I can't remember how long. For 20 years or something. Because she fled the scene of an accident. Tried to fix her car. Tried to cover it up. So, please, I'm appealing to you. If you're in a car accident, don't panic. You need to stay there and assist. You're a Christian. If you drive away, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll come visit you in jail. But you are going to jail. Okay? Do not do that. It is against the law. Amen? But, you know, Mr. Richard, the person has died. Well, at least you're there. When you get to court, you'll be able to argue that, you know what, it was an accident. And chances are, your lawyers will be able to plead clemency. And they will let you off if you get a good lawyer. Okay, it's a question of how much justice can you afford. Let's just get that right in here. Okay? Good lawyers are not cheap. Some of these guys are brilliant. They will get up there and get you off. Because they're very good at what they do. Okay, you're going to pay for it though, but nonetheless. Okay, so don't just go get somebody down the street. Are you with me? So, they will plead your case, and you probably get a very light sentence. Are you with me? But accidental killings, you were allowed to run to the city of refuge. And basically it was a place of asylum, if you think about it. Where that guy cannot touch you. Where the law couldn't touch you. Because it was an accident. Now, if you kill somebody intentionally and you run to a city of refuge, they're going to come in there and grab you and kill you. Are you with me? You didn't have that opportunity. Now, let's talk about lawful killings. You see, in Scripture, all murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. The first lawful killing, capital punishment. We just read about it. God established a legal standard of justice for murder. It says, you shall give life for life. That's what it says in Exodus chapter 21, verse 23. The punishment for murder was a death penalty. Pure and simple. Okay? So, when the avenger of blood killed somebody who had killed a relative, they were not guilty for that. They couldn't be charged with murder because that was lawful killing. Are you with me? Today, in America, depending on the state where you're in, you know, some states have the death penalty. Some, they will lock you up for life and throw away the key. Okay? To me, it's still the same thing. I mean, why don't you just kill me? You're going to lock me up in here? I can't, you know, I'm not going to get out forever? Please. Pull the plug. That's what I would say. But you see, back then, you killed somebody, you were also killed. Today, the Lord does it. Where the state will put you to death. Back in the Middle Ages, when they wanted to kill somebody, it was a public execution for the most part, where they would put your head between two wooden panels and lock it in, and they would drop a sword. Sometimes the executioner would be standing right there, but they would put a sack over the person's face so that people would never know who the executioner was. Because remember, that's somebody's daddy. That's somebody's brother. That's his job. And they would stand there with a sword and boom, one blow, chop the head off. So, ooh, that's barbaric. That was just a few years ago. That's how they used to kill people. If you go to the Tower of London today, that's how they used to kill people in England. It's a museum now. You can go in there. They will just chop your head off. The king didn't like you. You said something smart to the queen. It's like, take him out. And they will slice your head off. But you see, those guys, the executioners, they were carrying out an order of the state, of God. And so, that's not murder. Now again, I won't want that to be my job, okay? I don't think you would want that either. But capital punishment was okay. Believe it or not, it functioned as a deterrent to murder. If you think about it. And also to personal vengeance. You know, if you know that, okay, my loved one has been killed, the avenger of blood is going to take care of this situation, then I'm not going to take the law into my own hands. And it deterred others from killing other people. He's like, you know what? I don't like that guy. He looked at me funny. I'm going to go take him out. Sorry, you can't do that. Okay? The reason I have never physically killed somebody, although I've thought about it, and we're going to talk about that in a second, and you've thought about it too. When somebody does something and you are so angry, it's like, I could just kill him. It's because I know if I try that, they're going to kill me too. Or lock me up for life. But I'm not spending the rest of my life in prison. I'm not going to do it. And you're not going to do it too. Are you with me? So it was a deterrent. And it's amazing. If you look at the New Testament, there is nothing in the New Testament to nullify the death penalty. Nothing. You can't find it. Now you say, well, I'm opposed to the death penalty. That's fine. That's your issue. Don't make it a Bible issue. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing in the New Testament that nullifies the death penalty. Nothing. I challenge you to go show it to me. It's not there. Well, I don't like death penalty. Fine. It's in the Bible. God says, you take somebody's life, your life should be taken. Again, it served as a deterrent. If anything, in Romans chapter 13, it reinforces the responsibility of the state in terms of carrying out justice. Now, the state does it for us today in terms of, you know, when somebody kills somebody, the state will carry out the sentence. But it's in the New Testament. Are you with me? Number two, self-defense. We're talking about lawful killing now. Self-defense. In Exodus 22, I'm almost done. I know this is boring, but it's in the Bible. Remember, everything is in the scriptures for a reason. In Exodus 22, in verse 2, it says, if a thief is caught breaking in and is struck so that he dies, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed. But if it happens after sunrise, he's guilty of bloodshed. A thief must certainly make restitution, but if he has nothing, he must be sold to pay for his theft. Imagine the context here. A thief breaks into somebody's house, all right, at nighttime. Remember, back then, they didn't have electricity. You couldn't see. And so, you hear somebody rumbling in the dark, and you grab your knife or something, and you stab him, and you kill him. That's self-defense in the Old Testament. Okay? Now, if it was daylight, the implication is you could see them. So, it's where he broke into my house, but you could see him. If you killed him, that's not self-defense. Because you could see him. It was daylight. Are you with me? Now, today, believe it or not, in the Lord today, we have the same thing. If you and I get into an argument, okay, and I shove you, I actually lay hands on you. I'm the aggressor, so to speak. Okay? And you shove me back. And I punch you. All right? And you pull out a knife. And you stab me. Guess what? That's not self-defense. Why? Because there's a big difference between using my hands and you now using a weapon. You just escalated things. Now, if I punched the guy first and he punched me back, and I punched him and he punched me back and he took me out, that's self-defense. And I die, he can claim self-defense. Are you with me? He would say he was protecting himself. Now, another thing you need to know in here, okay, in case you don't. You cannot protect your property with excessive force. In other words, somebody breaks into your house, all right? And you go grab your gun. That's your license to have and a license to carry. And you shoot them. They will lock you up in Georgia. Because you can never use excessive force to protect property. Never. Now, if the person is trying to kill you or attacking you or your family, you can use a gun or excessive force to propel that. Are you with me? But you cannot protect your property, your car, your nice belongings, or your gold chains and rings, and use a gun. You are going to jail. That's just the law. I'm sorry. Okay? Are you with me? So yes, in some cases, there's self-defense, where somebody is coming at you, and you defend yourself. And in the process, you take their life. The law recognizes it, even in the Old Testament, and even today. Are you with me? But you got to be very, very careful. The idea is, you know, if somebody attacks you, walk away. Just walk away. No, they're going to think I'm a punk. Walk away. Walk away. You don't want to end up in jail. I'd rather have somebody think I'm a punk than they go lock me up at Gwinnett, what do you call that place? Gwinnett Correctional Facility. And then, I can just imagine the picture. Who are you? What are you doing? Oh, I'm here to see my pastor. Really? He's locked up in here? Yeah. He killed somebody. He was defending himself. That ain't happening. Not on my watch. Can you imagine how embarrassing that would be? So the point is, you know what? The Bible says do not resist an evil person. Just walk away. Just walk away. You don't want that thing to escalate. Amen? Amen? Another form of lawful killing was war, believe it or not. War. You know, in a sin-cursed world, sin is inevitable. War is inevitable. And obviously, back in the Old Testament, they used to fight wars. God would tell his kids, go over there and wipe those people out. Right now, America is fighting a couple of wars. Okay? Those guys are out on the battlefield. When they shoot at somebody, they're not going to be charged with murder. Why? Because he's doing wartime. They're fighting in a war. Okay? You and I are not enlisted soldiers. You say, man, I'm at war. I'm at war with my neighbor. So I'm going to kill him. Don't do it. They're going to lock you up. Okay? This ain't Afghanistan. I'm sorry. Don't try it. Okay? In your own mind, you may be at war with them, but you are not at war. When I'm talking of war, is you know what I'm talking about, when nations go against nations. In that context, that's why those soldiers would never be brought to trial. Now, there are a few situations here and there where you will hear somebody abusing. There's even a conduct, the way you're supposed to act during wartime. When you capture somebody, you can't torture them. I mean, can you imagine? Okay, let's say I'm a soldier, all right? And we got a bunch of Taliban guys, you know, captured them, you know. And then, for my own amusement, I take them to the back room. And I start slapping them around and start kicking them, you know.
keeping them up at night. I can't do that. They will charge, they will court martial me. Because that's wrong. But even within the war context, there's a way you're meant to handle people that you've captured. Are you with me? It's like, well, you're a prisoner now. You're not going to eat for the next 7 days. You can't do that. You got to feed them. Yeah, they're in captivity now, but you got to feed them. You got to treat them right. Well, I'm going to put him outside in the sun, 104 degrees. Let him toast for a little while. You can't do that. Even during wartime. Are you with me? So I'm saying to you, even within that context, there are rules that are meant to be followed. And nations follow. And that's why when armies or countries violate that stuff, those guys are charged with war crimes. Are you with me? Because it's against the law. You can't do it. The taking of a human life is sin. Murder. You can't take somebody else's life. You cannot take your own life. I know sometimes we can get sentimental. About this time last year, I found out a guy that I grew up with, who was a few years my senior in high school, took his own life. It tore me up. I couldn't believe it. He had tried it several times, battling major depression. This guy was a multi-millionaire. 4 beautiful kids. Shot his wife in the leg and put a gun to his brain and blew his brains out. It tore me up. I would like to stand up here and say, oh yeah, he's gone to heaven. That's a lie. You can't take your own life and go to heaven. Now, you can kill and repent of it. David did. He killed Bathsheba's husband. Moses killed. And God forgave him. The Apostle Paul, the Bible tells us he was there consenting to Stephen's death. He was an accessory, so to speak. And yet, God forgave him. But you see, unfortunately, when you take your own life, you don't have that opportunity to repent. Because that's the last thing you do. If I were to tell you otherwise, I would be lying. As much as I would say, oh man, my friend is gone up to a better place. Oh no, I am angry that he did that. What a waste. Suicide is not an option. I'm sorry. It isn't. Now we need to help people out. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I can't imagine how people must be feeling where they think, you know what, this is my only way out. Let me just go jump off a bridge. We got to open up our eyes and help people out. People are hurting. You know, I think it was on the news just a couple of days ago. The big thing now in our schools is bullying. And you see these kids taking their own life. I mean, it's terrible. Where they feel like, you know what, there's no other way out. So I'm just going to take my own life. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, let me just say this to all our kids in here. If you have been bullied in school, you need to come talk to me. Because I will show up at that school. And that bully is going to have to deal with me. I am dead serious. You need to tell your parents what's going on. Don't let people push you around. Are you with me? Now, obviously, don't take your life. That's not even an option. Okay? Don't add insult to injury. But you see, we got to stand up and do what's right in this society. Amen? We got to stand up. We just can't look the other way. Now look in Matthew 5. This is where we're going to end. Are you thinking you're not a murderer? Let's see what Jesus says. I am a murderer. I have killed. Matthew chapter 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is where we're going to end. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 21. You have heard that it was said, this is Jesus talking. Do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raka, that was a sign of a statement of contempt back then. Okay? Is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way. Or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and the officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. And I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Just as, forget taking somebody's life physically. If you are angry with your brother, you've committed murder. When you and I lose it, when you and I get angry, when we're bitter, when we're resentful, you just murder that person. As far as God is concerned. That's what I'm saying. All of us in here, all the adults, we're all murderers. Okay? According to Scripture. I mean, the other day I was driving, I got to confess, and there's this guy in front of me. I don't even know what he was thinking, or well, on the phone or whatever. And I'm like, come on, move! I said, come on, bozo, move it! And my daughter goes, Dad, you can't call him a bozo. That's wrong. I said, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm glad they corrected me. I wasn't proud of that moment. But I was angry. That's what we do. We call people names. But you see, murder, as far as God is concerned. And he says, you know what? For us, if you're on your way to church, and then you remember that your brother has something against you, look at who the onus is on. The onus is on you and I to take the initiative. A lot of times we're waiting for the other person to come talk to us first. If you know somebody's upset with you, the Bible says, you go talk to them. Amen? You know, when you read verses like this, and then you read in Revelation where it talks about how, you know, at the second death, all liars and all murderers. Now you get a better perspective. It's not just people that have taken life physically. That's why there can't be any resentment. There can't be any anger or bitterness in us. You got to deal with that stuff. Amen? Or it will keep you out of heaven. You shall not kill. Ratzak. The intentional killing of a human life. We'll continue with the next commandment next week. Let's have a great spring break. Don't do what Jesus wouldn't do. Stay out of trouble. God bless.